are ready to
Love
go.
Love Talk Radio.
Yeah, they're still counting us. That's the only thing. Do we know when that happens? Okay, we got it. All right, we are ready to go. Yep, we're going to have 10 seconds of silence and we are ready.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair. On my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, you know, every single show, usually, I think for the last 3 years, we've started with this parts of this little ditty, this special entertainment that was created for us by one of the premier songwriters and lyricists on Broadway. And one of those lines is, he looks in the mirror, and he sees hair on his head, not his shoulders. Well, today we have a health and wealth program. We're going to start with wealth with Paul Fiore of American Advisors Group. We're going to talk about home equity lines of credit, what difference that makes in your life, what difference it can make in your future, what the real details are, what to look out for, and we're going to get some true information out to you, the Fountain of Truth. But in the second part of our show, we're going to talk about very specialized stem cell research. Yes, to cure baldness. So maybe the next time we play the song and our fellow looks in the mirror, he really will see hair on his head and not on his shoulders. But it also is new research for wrinkles, for tendonitis, which is a big problem we're all having because we're so wired at our age, and we're sitting at the computer, and all of a sudden we've got carpal tunnel syndrome. We'll talk about all of these things in this show in ways that can really be useful to your life. So let's ask yourself a question. Are you living in your bank? Yeah. Do you have more money and more equity in your home than you've got in your 401k or your IRA? Well, probably if you're in the Northeast like I am, you probably do. Just because of the cost of housing, and you may have paid off your mortgage. Should you take some of that equity out? Shouldn't you? What's the dangers? What's the red flags? What's the benefits? So we have Paul Fiore with us today, and he's with American Advisors Group. Now, they're a top lender in the industry, so of course they're very positive about this kind of approach, but they're going to share with us some of the red flags as well. Thank you so much, Paul, for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne, for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me too, because there was a time, I'm a lawyer, do not hold that against me, but I had many, many people who were not happy with the old type of reverse mortgages, more because they didn't understand it than any other reason, actually. So let's start with the fact that people do have consumer protection here before they make their final decisions. Jump in, explain that, and then we'll take a look at what a home equity line of credit really is. Go ahead, Paul.
Sure, yeah. So, and I've been doing this quite a long time, and it's funny, the perception of the product over the years has definitely changed. There is a third-party counseling that's provided to every consumer prior to them even going through an application and paying for an appraisal or any fees associated with a reverse mortgage. And basically what an independent third-party counselor does is they ensure that the borrower understands what the reverse mortgage is, they understand what their options are besides a reverse mortgage, and they also put them through a test to make sure that not only do they understand it and they understand what their options are, but they're also aware of their decision. And so once they've completed that, they issue them a counseling certificate, which basically says you can now move forward with a reverse mortgage. So it's a pretty important safeguard because it protects the senior to make sure, you know, they are getting into something that makes sense for their situation.
So you said a magic word, which was senior. So there is an age at which you are eligible to do these things. Is there an age minimum, an age maximum?
Yeah. So reverse mortgages are designed for seniors that are 62 and over, and basically it just allows them to tap into the equity of their home, a portion of the equity in their home, without having to make a monthly payment. But there's no maximum age.
Now, let's take a look at that. I think you have to unpack this for us. In the old days, we used to say reverse mortgage. Now we say home equity or home equity line of credit. Unpack the differences and which actually should we look at, or should we only look at one opposed to the other these days?
So when people start talking about line of credit with and related to reverse mortgages, it's just the way they can actually receive the proceeds. So reverse mortgage or a HECM are basically they're the exact same thing. It's the idea of a senior 62 or over being able to access their equity and not having to make a payment. Now, they can choose to access those funds in a variety of ways. They can get a monthly payment, much like for life, much like a Social Security check. They can take some cash out at closing if they need it immediately to pay off some debt, or they can put the money in a line of credit and have that line of credit accessible to them over the years. So as they stay in their home and they age in place, that line of credit sits there and it's available to them as they happen to need the money. So, and then there's actually a combination of any one of those three they can put together, and they can take some money out at the closing, or they can have a line of credit or both. So the interesting thing about a reverse mortgage, I think, today, and that people may not understand, is that there are multiple ways that you can use the money. It's very flexible for seniors as they try to figure out what their strategy is in retirement.
Yep. So let's take a look at cost, but again, I'm going to unpack it in the three ways that you presented it. Simple lump sum, I'm going to take a lump sum, I want it in my pocket, I'll do with it as I please, I'm going to pay an interest rate that doesn't get paid back until a later date, we'll talk about that eventually. Interest rates are pretty low today. How do they look when it's that kind of lump sum receipt?
Sure.
Are they variable, fixed? Does that work?
So there are two different types of loans. You have the adjustable reverse mortgages, you have the fixed rate reverse mortgages. Now, when people hear fixed rate or adjustable, they associate a lot of that to the traditional forward mortgage, but it's a little bit different because there's no monthly payment attached. And most reverse mortgages today are of the adjustable kind because the majority of seniors don't take lump sum monies at closing. What they do is in the line of credit, and they allow it to sit there and grow as over time. Basically, seniors get access to more money over time. So they have this line of credit, and you know, over 5, 10, 15 years, that line of credit continues to give them additional proceeds. What's nice about that line of credit is with regards to interest rates on reverse mortgages are very much similar to your traditional forward mortgage, but there's no monthly payment. So let's just say you have that line of credit, over time, as you age in place, and let's say you don't draw all the money at once, again you continue to have more available to you. People who choose to take a lump sum, most of the time those are the people that have a significant mortgage balance that they need to pay off. So they're going to use the proceeds to pay off the current mortgage, and then whatever is left over sits in the line of credit, or they take as a monthly income stream.
All right, so that they can use the money elsewhere or be able to stay in their home without having to pay off the mortgage. Now, let's just say you do the line of credit, which is actually American Advisors Group, I think, focuses a good deal on that. It's the new trend. When you're not using the money, as you mentioned, when it's just sitting there waiting for you to use it, are you saying that there's no charge and, in fact, that there's a rate, maybe a fixed rate or an adjustable rate that you're earning on that money?
Yeah, so you only pay for what you utilize. So I think that's an important part of this, right? Because if there's really no balance in the loan, there's no actual rate associated with that loan. There's no interest accruing unless there's a balance. Obviously, if there's a balance, you will have a rate associated with it. But yes, it is one of the most unique features about a reverse mortgage, and a significant difference to someone who may be considering your forward mortgage line of credit, is that with a reverse mortgage, the money sitting in that line of credit we call it, it has a growth rate attached to it, which ties to the interest rate that is current, that is the prevailing current interest rate. So in a market, let's just say that we have rising interest rates, which is what everybody worries about in the future. You turn the TV on and everybody talks about what's going to happen. If interest rates go way up, if you're not really utilizing that money right now, the line of credit will grow very, very rapidly. And even if you have a balance, if you still have a line of credit, there is the upside of the growth rate with that money.
So when we come back, we'll talk, in a way, you can use this to arbitrage your interest rates, too, depending on whether you took a fixed at a low time or adjustable, as you say, may not get a fixed all the time, depending on what the bank, what the lender wants to offer. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about ways that Paul Fiore has seen people use these lines of credit, not just for aging in place, but also for their retirement planning. We'll talk about red flags, things you should look at, and we'll talk about your kids and what's going to happen when you go with regard to their inheritance of the home.
But that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Okay, so that's perfect. This is just what we want. So we're going to cover in the next segment, which we're just going to run away with us, the three questions. One being how you think people use these lines of credit in maybe creative lifestyle ways, okay?
Absolutely.
We'll talk about what happens at the end of the day, you know, when they either move or sell, you know, for the inheritance of it, and some of the red flags. Now, again, you can re-mention the fact that they have to have counseling anyway, so. Okay?
Sounds good.
Good. Stuart, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And we are back. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, in a half an hour on our show, we certainly cannot give you all the information possible on equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, but we have chosen Paul Fiore, who is the Executive Vice President of Retail Sales over at American Advisors Group. They're one of the larger lenders in the field. I do want to tell you my disclaimer. I am not associated with this firm. They haven't paid anything to be on this show. God forbid anybody should pay anything to be on the show. The fact is that we have some straightforward information here from Paul. I'll give you his website. There's more information on that as well. But what he has seen, and he wanted to emphasize, was that people are using these lines of credit in new and creative ways, not just to pay off a mortgage so they could stay in their house. It's not a desperation move for many people. It's other reasons. So, Paul, take it away. What are some of the things you've seen people use the money for?
It's a great question. And the exciting thing for me is, as the years have gone by, we've been able to see kind of a transformation. And so I would tell you that what we see today is 80% of people that take reverse mortgages use the line of credit, and they let the money sit in the line of credit and let it grow over time. And they use it as part of their overall retirement planning future. So what they do is they say, okay, here's my stream of income coming in on a monthly basis, whether it be from pension, Social Security. Then they also have their 401k. And they say, okay, so how else can I supplement my income or have money available in market fluctuations? So if the stock market does poorly, do I want to be pulling money out of my investments at a time when the market's down? No, that's not a long-term strategy, because now you're one shorting how much money you have available to you, you know, as you age in place. And as we know, people are living longer today, so they need more money in retirement. Having that line of credit allows them to kind of hedge market conditions, and they use that money, and they help supplement their actual cash that they have available to them, so they get to stay in their home longer and helps them age in place. That is probably
so
one of the most.
Almost as an alternative asset class.
That's right.
They're looking. So let's talk about the thing people worry about the most, I think, before they even start to think about it, which is what happens if I die? What happens if I want to sell? How does this mortgage get paid off? Will there be anything left for the heirs? Is there a way to structure it that way? How would you counsel people on that one?
Well, I think it's really important. What we do, when someone calls in or we meet with somebody who's asking about a reverse mortgage, we absolutely try to figure out what is the actual plan with the home, because everyone looks at their home differently. Some people say they want it to be an inheritance. Other people, they're not really that worried about those things. They want to leave it to their children. Their children are going to move into the home. You can structure and design the reverse mortgage to be to kind of operate how they would like it to be. So if they're looking to have the home be something that their children can move into, you design it such that you have a line of credit, so you're not using a lot of proceeds up front. And so this way, when the time comes and if the last remaining survivor, the spouse passes, when they inherit the home, all they have to do is pay off the balance of the loan. They get to stay in the home. If they choose to sell the home, the children, they can sell the home. The loan becomes due one of two ways, basically. When the last person who's on title passes, when the last spouse passes, or if they choose to sell the home. And basically at that point, it's just like a regular mortgage. They just have to pay the balance off.
So as a lawyer, I would say that is important then, the last person on the title versus the last spouse. So if somebody
I should correct that.
Last person on title, right? Last person on title.
It's not. I apologize for that. We've had changes in the product, so it's a huge protection. When a spouse is not on title, they are still protected. They can stay in the home. So I do apologize. That was a misspeak on my part.
I'm glad we brought it up because I have to tell you that was one of the biggest issues in the past. People didn't realize that they get the heave-ho if they happen to not be on title. Now, most of the time, a couple married many years, they're both on the deed, and they're both on the mortgage. But it could have happened, and it has happened. So, you see, this is all part of the new changes, and you want to get the right information. Just give us your website so they can get some of that information if this is piquing our listeners' interest.
Sure. So you can check us out at aag.com. www.aag.com is our website.
All right, now, what about on sale? It has always been, and just confirm or deny right now, if it's still the same, that if you decide to downsize and you do move, you simply pay off the remainder of the mortgage and you go. Is that correct?
That's correct. If you're choosing to downsize your home, you would just pay the balance like you would any mortgage.
And, you're not stuck living in the house forever just because you've taken this mortgage out on it. Now, before we lose you, there's two quick ones. We used to come up with a problem, and I don't know if it's still there, and that is that condos and co-ops were not mortgageable. And the other was that homes with a lot of costs, in other words, let's say the McMansions, also weren't mortgageable. Has that changed at all?
So with AAG, we do have a proprietary reverse mortgage for jumbo loans, which is just AAG's specific product. It's a self-insured reverse mortgage. So if you're a homeowner that owns a house that's, in that $1 million and higher range, you can absolutely utilize the jumbo product for that. Co-ops are still a challenge for the reverse mortgage industry that just we're not able to do.
So, and of course, that's very limited. New York City and a few other places have co-ops. Most do not, actually. It's a kind of an old structure, and very little new is being built that way. So, but it's a limited problem, to some of the folks that we run across. And before we leave you, I just want you to repeat to everybody, because there are red flags here, but repeat to everybody the consumer protection counseling that they are required by law to actually have.
That's right. So when you're in the process of considering a reverse mortgage, before you wind up costing yourself any money or going through a process that, say, the reverse mortgage is not right for them, they do have a counseling that's set up, third-party independent counselor, which just basically ensures that you understand what the reverse mortgage is, you understand all of your options, and that they have to issue a certificate before you can move forward. I think it's very important. I also would recommend that any lender you speak to should be a part of the National Reverse Mortgage Lenders Association. That is our governing body as a group. We kind of, you know, if you're a member of NARMLA, you're held to a certain ethical standard, and I think that's extremely important when you're looking for a lender.
I think it's a very important piece of information, and I really do have to thank AAG for investing in education, because it was the biggest problem in the past. Not so much the structure, but so much the surprises. And I specifically thank Paul Fiore. He is the Executive VP of Retail Sales over at American Advisors Group. Thank you so much, Paul. This has really been important for a lot of people to hear.
Thank you so much, Adrian. I really do appreciate your time.
And for you guys, look in the mirror. Are you bald? Do you have a wrinkle? You say no. You're in denial. We'll talk about it. Don't go anywhere.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, so this is a good, and this is what we wanted to achieve, you know, some clarity, let's say. Okay?
Yep.
And
thanks,
we're
Adrian.
All here now. And you know that you're going to get instructions on how to listen on this Sunday, I think, Stuart? This Sunday live on a variety of stations, or you can use the BizTalk app, and you'll be able to
perfect.
Hear it that way. And then it'll be on the front of GenerationBoldRadio.com and archived
excellent.
On our website. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Good. You have to hang up. I can't because I have to keep the line open for the next guest.
Understood. Have a good one.
Take care.
Bye.
Hello, this is Lee Buckler.
Lee, hi. Thanks so much for being a guest. I'm Stuart. I'm Adrian's producer. Adrian will be with you in a few seconds. We'll start.
Great.
We'll start her within about 2 minutes. We'll be doing two segments. The first one will be about 11 minutes. The second one will be about 8 minutes. In between, you can chat again about what's coming up, what you'll be saying. Adrian will prep you in the beginning of both segments. And the show will be heard Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on the network. You can listen to it if you're in a city that it broadcasts in, or you can listen to it on biztalkradio.com, and they have a listen live button at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and it'll also be on our website front page starting on Wednesday, and that would be generationboldradio.com.
Great.
Yeah. So thanks, and Adrian will be with you in a second to prep for the interview. Just hang on, okay? It'll be silent, so don't worry about it. You're not gonna be cut off.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, Lee. Is your last name pronounced Buckler?
Buckler, that's right.
Very good. And is it Repucel? Is that the way that your company
it's
is pronounced?
Replicel, just like replicate, but Replicel.
Okay, Replicel. Very good. All right. So, I mean,
that's
it's
right.
A very straightforward and good press that I have here explaining what your mission is. But I think where the part is going to come in is how this might work and what stage of the therapy we're at. Is there a legal point of view where there needs FDA approval, or where are we in the pipeline of this?
Yeah, so, you know, we can talk generally, you know, much bigger even about where we're at with self-therapy generally, even outside of our company, where there's already products, you know, approved by the FDA and treating patients. There's also doctor-based, procedures that employ cells. We ourselves are in early stage of clinical testing. Our products all do require eventually FDA approval. We've just done the first in human clinical studies on all of our products.
Great. So, and you could answer that way. That's wonderful. I want to try to also morph us into the future. And what would it mean? Let's say it's all done, it works, and we're looking at things like our own appearance. This is going to be a fairly unique view because we do talk about all kinds of cell therapies from a much different point of view of cancer and young children and so on. But here you're talking specifically about baldness, you're talking about wrinkles, you're talking about sports injuries. I would like you to say, in the best of all possible worlds, what might happen? How would you reverse your male pattern baldness if all works out well and everything's approved? So I would like them to get a picture of what this might mean.
Great.
Is that something that you can do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That's great. And we always talk about money. I'm not so sure that this is covered. I can tell you Botox isn't. So sometimes cell therapy for very serious diseases is not covered. What do you anticipate in terms of being able to actually get this to the consumer?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, these are going to be consumer pay procedures, right? We don't anticipate for reversing hair loss or for reversing skin aging that'll be something that's contemplated within reimbursement. Unless, of course, you know, there emerges within the health insurance industry as the demographics age, a kind of insurance category that does, allow people to insure against this sort of thing. Of course, for tendon regeneration, that's different. You know, if in fact, someone can show that their tendon has degenerated to the point where they have pain and loss of function, that's well within the contemplation of a lot of in the scope of a lot of insurance policies.
And the last thing I'll ask, and then I'll throw it open to you, what you'd like me to ask is, and that is the scope of this product. I mean, you're concentrating on these three areas, but it seems to me that medically it probably can be used in other ways. And you're probably looking at that as well. Is there any other things even more down the line that you can see this used for?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you take a really macro picture to using cells as therapeutics, there's a cell therapy, on the market or in development for almost every imaginable human condition or disease. from macular degeneration, ocular disease, to diabetes, to spinal cord repair, to to cancers, to wound repair, bone repair, through to genetic diseases, and more aesthetic things like we're pursuing. So I think it's a very exciting field of medicine, and then specifically for us. Yes, we have a pipeline of indications that we're excited about developing as our products mature, for sure.
And does Ripley still have any position on whether you should save cells in infants and babies?
The company wouldn't have a position on it. I mean, I've been in this business of cell therapy for a long time, and in fact, at one point did a short stint with a company that was in the business of saving umbilical cord stem cells. I think it's a very individual decision, and it's as unique as people's perspective on insurance. Some people like to be well overinsured. Some people don't buy insurance at all. Some people are underinsured. Because it really is a biomedical insurance policy. It's insuring against that rare event where your child might at some point need their umbilical stem cells. It is indeed a very rare event, and I think the estimation of how common this that might be used for your baby is oversold. And of course, we're preying a little bit on parents' fears that they don't do the absolute best thing for their child. All of that is true, but it's a very individual decision.
Good, good answer. Now, what else would you like me to ask you? Now, believe me, when we just ask, it's plenty. We'll have plenty of time to answer, but the time will go fast. But I don't want to miss anything that you think is important to bring out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's interesting to explore this as something people would use agingly, medicinally, aesthetically. It's interesting to explore, how it fits into the bigger picture of medicine, and then I think the other arm of the discussion that's interesting is it an interesting business or investment opportunity for people in their portfolios as well? And I'm not just talking about Replicell, but just in these emerging companies.
Okay. I got it. We'll do it. Our producer is ready for us. We're ready, Stu. Yeah, I will cover all those. We're going to be quiet for about 10 seconds, and we'll cover most of what you just said in the second segment, but we will get to it. Okay, Stu, let's go.
Great. Thanks, Adrian.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Well, this is Adrian Berg. This is Generation Bold, and we are back with our promise. We said that this was going to be a show about both health and wealth, and we are on our health part, although you'll see, I'll give you a little tease, in the second part of our segment here with Arlie Buckler. He is the president, CEO, and director of Replicell, and he swims in the water of stem cell research. He served 6 years as the executive director of the International Society for Cellular Therapy, over 2 years as director of business development for progenitor cell therapy, and co-chairs the Alliance for Regenerative Medicine Communications and Education Committee, but it's a short show, so I can't write everything else. I'll tell you everything else that he has done, but he truly swims in these waters of stem cell research. And now with Replicell, it's a fairly early stage. I'll tell you all about this company that focuses on regenerative medicine, but in a little bit lighter way, if I may say so, than some of the others that we've had on our show, because he's looking at male pattern baldness, he's looking at fine facial wrinkles, he's looking at something a little more serious, which is chronic tendon problems. But the truth is, we take our looks extremely seriously in this country, and we really hate the fact that when we look in the mirror, we don't look like we feel inside. And so we do spend a huge amount of money to correct that, and stem cell therapy may be just in the line of perfect storm of wanting us to feel better, live longer as we do, and look as well as we feel. So Lee Buckler is with us. Lee, thank you so much for being here, and just set the stage with regard to the enormity of stem cell research in general, and then we'll look at the angle, the position of Replicell.
Adrian, thanks for having me on the show. It's a wonderful opportunity to speak to your listeners. I got into this business on the business side of cell therapy, stem cell research and cell therapy back in 2000 when I talked to colleagues in the pharma industry, they couldn't see a path forward for using cells as products and couldn't imagine pharma being invested in it. And not that that's the be-all and end-all, but now it's hard to find a pharma company that hasn't incorporated the vision of using cells as medicines as part of the future. You know, we in the 1960s, discovered stem cells in bone marrow, quickly incorporated, what we learned about them into recovery from cancer treatment, where we completely ablate people's immune systems, and then discovered that if we gave people back their own hematopoietic stem cells after that, that their immune system would recover much quicker, and they had much less risk of dying from other complications related to the chemotherapy. And that spawned a whole generation of people imagining what else we might be able to do with cells therapeutically, both in the practice of medicine and in the development of products. And now we've come to the point where, on the one hand, there's about over a billion dollars worth of revenue generated from cell therapy products being prescribed and administered to patients today around the world. So this isn't science fiction. This has truly been incorporated already into the first wave of medicine and medicinal products. Almost every imaginable human condition or disease being the target of a cell therapy that's in research or clinical testing. And that's where, the company that I'm working with fits in that wave of products under development for pattern baldness, anti-aging of the skin, and tendon degeneration. But I have friends working in things all the way from cancer to ocular disease to skin repair, genetic diseases, et cetera.
So, when you look at the three things that Replicell is focusing on, the male pattern baldness, the wrinkles, sports injuries, tendon issues, they seem to be so different from each other. Will it be the same type of research, the same type of product that will work for all these three types of issues, or are these three different things that you're coming out with?
It's a great observation, Adrian, and it's a great story. The thing that links all three together. So, we began life. Our company started out as most biotech companies do, with a couple of academic researchers. In our case, two of them working in Europe, a German and a Brit, in an academic and clinical research facility in Europe. And they were really consumed with what happens to the hair cells in the hair follicle during hair loss. And they came up with a seminal discovery that androgenic alopecia, which is the primary reason for baldness in men and thinning hair in women, and female hair loss is a very underestimated component of this market. There's a particular cell population that gets decimated by the androgen hormone, and as that cell population dies off, your hair disappears. The next question they ask themselves is, well, then why do these bald people still have hair at the back of their head? And what they discovered, without getting too deep into the science, was that that same cell population is functionally immune to that process that I just described. And so that's why you can do hair transplant surgery, and if you can successfully remove one of those follicles and all the cells embedded in it, which are immune to that mechanism, and relocate it to the top of the head where the affected area, and if that transplant takes, the cells will remain immune to that condition and continue to grow a new hair follicle for the rest of your life. But that's a very invasive, you know, medical surgery that oftentimes doesn't work. It's highly variable. It's expensive. It's very invasive. It's messy. And the guys that founded our company simply came up with the idea, could we, and of course, they spent many years in the lab trying to prove this out, could we simply isolate the cells which are responsible for hair growth and immune to the condition, taken from a tissue biopsy from the back of the scalp, grow millions more of them in the laboratory and successfully inject them into the affected area of the scalp. And in fact, that's to cut through about 15 years of research. That's in fact what we have come up with. And so we've grown hair, on paw pads of mice. We've grown whisker hair on ears of animals. And we went into first phase clinical testing. We've discovered that in fact you can successfully inject these cells and see not only the stabilization of hair loss, but in fact new hair growth. And that's very, very exciting. And while we were playing around with the cells of the hair follicle, discovered that there was another group of cells that had nothing to do with the growth of hair fibers and everything to do with the maintenance of the tissue of the hair follicle. So the follicle is a tube that the hair fiber grows in, and it's a tube of tissue not unlike your cartilage, your ligaments, your muscles, and the layer under your skin that supports it. And your tissue in your body is grown and maintained by a group of cells that we call fibroblasts and mesenchymal stem cells. And they do that by expressing proteins. Proteins are the tissue-building compounds that these cells excrete. Particularly, one of note is type 1 collagen. So these cells that we isolate, these cells that we isolate from this tissue are particularly expressive of type 1 collagen amongst all the proteins that they express. And so when we discovered that and learned how to, again, isolate and grow these cells, looked for where there was a particular need for or a deficit of type 1 collagen related to, a particular condition. And as you and your listeners will appreciate, collagen is especially important to skin and the youthfulness of skin or the aging of skin. It also turns out that 80 to 90% of the dry weight of your tendons, whether it's in your ankle, your knee, the tendons of your elbow, shoulder, etc., are comprised of well-organized, well-layered strands of type 1 collagen. Your tendon is the thing that joins your muscle to your bone and has a particular consistency, a particular composition that's largely composed of these strands of collagen. And for those people who suffer from just chronic pain of the tendon, wherever that is, it's not related to an injury. It's just, overuse or age or just genetic, predisposition to poor tendon composition. There's really very few options for those people. And you really just have to stop golfing, stop playing tennis, stop running, or whatever it is you're doing that aggravates it the most. Exactly.
So we've now
injected both that cell population into both skin and tendon and seen some very exciting results in terms of restoration of the tissue under the skin and the tendons.
So one of the things that we're hearing from Lee Buckler, and he is the CEO, the director and president of Replicell, is this journey that every startup, every research company goes through. And it surprises. Look back. Surprise you a little bit.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so in that second segment, I want to go through what we had talked about before, which is, fast forwarding to the product being available, to everything, all the approvals, and how will the end consumer actually use it? Will it be shots, creams, what the intent is, okay? And then we can say a little bit about issues of startups and the money going into this whole sector, actually, okay?
Sure, that sounds great.
By the way, where would they get more information? Just replicell.com?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Stu, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, we have had many, many people on our show that dealing with stem cell research from many, many different points of view. Even from the negative points of view, from the religious points of view, from the point of view of what it can do for cancer patients, diabetes, everything along the line. But today we have with us Lee Buckler, and he is the CEO, the president and director of RepliCell, RepliCell.com. Well, you can get more information. And as I said in the first segment of our show, we do not take any type of compensation from our guests. We choose our guests because we think they're interesting and they have something to offer to the fountain of truth about aging. And that's the same here. But, you know, one of the things that I know is that people are interested, too, in how these startups begin. You just heard Lee in a, I think, a very passionate way give you the history of his discoveries, and as he said, over 15 years of looking at this, and actually starting looking at one thing. He wanted to solve this baldness problem, and lo and behold, some surprises come up. He sees that ancillary things, like collagen treatments for skin and maybe a tendon issues, come out of that research. This is not atypical. This is actually what happens when you're swimming in brand new waters. And people are very interested in it. It's always a big idea for investors going into these. I'm not speaking about you, my listeners, but millions of dollars are going into this. So I have to ask you, Lee, at the end of the day, let's fast forward to the future. The product is available. How does it get marketed? What does it cost? Who do you anticipate buying it? And how does it get administrated? Because you did talk about the baldness possibly being an injection, but I'm not sure. So what is it going to look like when you have actually accomplished your mission?
Thanks, Adrian. Great question. So, you know, there's a number of different ways that that cells are administered and manufactured and distributed to people. You know, as a general statement, there's almost all of them are some kind of injection of some sort, whether it's a local injection or a systemic injection. In our case, we focus on only on treating local conditions, so we inject locally, expect and the cells to stay locally to have a local impact. But there's kind of two ways to think about the cell therapy industry. One is what we call allogeneic, which is using donor cells to create thousands of batches that are then manufactured and stored in cryogenically frozen, if you will, in vials, and then delivered up to the clinic for injection. And then the other, and it's about half and half of the other part of the industry, is using the patient's own cells. We call that autologous. In our instance, RepliCell is focused on using the patient's own cells. We take a tissue biopsy from the back of the patient's scalp because of where we started out life, as I described in the first segment. That's closed by a single stitch, just to give you a little bit of a sense of the size of that tissue biopsy. It's quite small. That gets sent to a manufacturing facility where we isolate one of two different cell populations, depending on which product we're looking to manufacture. That manufacturing is simply about growing more of the patient's cells. So we don't try to change the cells in any way. We just simply grow more of them. We subject the cells to testing to make sure that they meet specifications, which means we haven't changed the cells, we haven't changed their function, we haven't changed them into another kind of cell, we have enough cells. And then we freeze them in vials, and we can freeze more than what's needed for a single dose. And then when the patient in the clinic is ready, that vial gets shipped to the clinic for injection into the patient, into the scalp or the skin or the tendon, as the case may be. And along the lines of what you discovered, what you spoke of earlier, we have, you know, rather serendipitously but strategically also invested in what we believe is a much better injector. And we don't have time to get into it today, probably, but we're very excited about that as a product as well. So I think the future, you know, the future of this for us, this is a product which is regulated by the FDA in the United States. We march through our clinical testing. We've proven already that the product is safe. We prove that it works like we claim. We get approval from the FDA. And then, you know, not unlike a lot of small research and development focused companies, we intend to partner with much more mature companies to commercially distribute, to sell, market, and to commercially distribute the product as a partner. So a proof of principle to that business model, we've already partnered with one of the largest cosmetic companies in the world in Asia, a company called Shiseido. They're our partner on the hair loss product in Asia.
So you know that Shiseido is an old line company that we're all very familiar with listening. And I'm just fascinated by this. I'm so sorry that we're almost out of time, but I want to use a minute to explain to the readers the waters in which I swim. So I go to a lot of conferences, Lee, and they're cutting-edge conferences, environments for aging, anti-aging medicine. I hate the word anti-aging. It should be pro-aging, but I'll let that pass for a second. Stem cell research, medical tourism, the whole thing. And this is such a, it's almost like the poster child, what you're doing with Replicell, for these kinds of startups that are dealing in the field of aging and product development. It's more than a startup. This is what is so exciting. You really don't know what the world will come up with to enhance the rest of our lives. Longevity planning is such a work in progress, Lee, whether it is how to live in your home, whether it's how to look the way you feel, whether it's how to not have pain in tendons, the kind of things that you work on. And then you never know where it goes from there. But at the end of the day, it has to get commercialized. If it doesn't get commercialized, it disappears. And then our opportunities as individuals aging disappear. But this is where the world is right now. We are very far behind in terms of our news. We have very little news in the field of aging. Very few people hear about this, but they'll hear the same stories about other things over and over again ad infinitum. The world of aging has a lot of news associated to it, and you're making that news at Replicell, because I don't know, and honestly, you don't know where this is going to take you. Who knows if there's not yet more applications for what you're talking about right now. You just want to get through the FDA for the applications you have. But it's a wonderful idea, and we talked about money. And the fact is, it's self-pay. And here's your connection between longevity, health, and wealth. I just wanted to end our show that way. But thank you so much. You want to hear more about this, you just go to replicell.com. And get out there, kids. Make it happen. Okay. So you're in an exciting cycle right now.
Very exciting. Yeah, we're really thrilled to be working on what we're doing and to have, you know, got the recent clinical evidence that what we're doing is working and excited to be moving forward.
Yeah, I just
and
have
it's
a
an
quick
exciting
personal
field
question
to be in as well.
No,
yes,
it is. It's not personal. It's just for me. Shiseido, I associate with products, cream products, and you know, beauty products. I don't associate them with procedures. So that relationship threw me a little bit. I would think more, you know, about the Botox folks and all those folks associated with procedures and offering all of this to the end use doctor. But is Shiseido in this field as well?
Well, you know, what's interesting is as happens a lot of times, the old traditional companies, you know, don't innovate as quickly as the small companies. And from time to time, the small companies take risks and prove something works and then, you know, become very large companies. And it's, you know, it's happened in the cosmetic business, you know, the L'Oreal's, the Shiseido's, you know, of the world.
Right.
Weren't innovative enough to move into injectables, and so companies came along like Allergan and Galderma, and created, you know, Botox and hyaluronic acid based dermal fillers, Juvederm, Restylane, you know, collagen injections, and became monsters.
Yeah.
Right, became very big companies with very big products, and the old companies realized, gee, we really missed the boat. And so now they're trying to buy their way into it. They're trying to innovate, or they're trying to, and that's a lot of times what happens is the older companies, you know, let the young companies, you know, prove what works, build a business, and then just go buy it, you know, or invest in it later on.
I just came back from Shanghai, and I in Thailand, and looking at medical tourism over there, including beauty tourism. And I would say that the biggest market in the world for these kind of things are actually in Asia, not in the United States. So I'm just wondering if Shishido is going to help you out over there.
That's exactly the mission of the partnership. Exactly, they're co-developing the product with us for the Asian market, and intend to take it and market it and distribute it to the Asian market for, you know, with us.
Interesting. All right. The time comes that you're looking at the U.S. market and the U.S. baby boomer specifically. That's our company, Anderson & Berg. We hope you reach that particular market. So I hope you'll think about us, because I know you're going to get to that point in life.
Excellent. I look forward to it, Adrian.
The Asian market, we only know that it's really where the action is. So that we can tell you free of charge. Okay.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Adrian, and all the best.
Take care. All right, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.